tiny part of her mind still capable of rational thought remembered about the key. The song filled the passageway. She gripped some folds of the wedding dress to make running easier and hurried towards the stairs. Something bulleted out of another doorway and bore her to the floor. It was Sean Ogg. Through the chromatic haze, she could see his worried face peering out from its hood of rusty iron. The song changed while staying the same. The complex harmonies, the fascinating rhythm, did not alter, but suddenly grated, as if she was hearing the song through different ears. She was dragged into the doorway.
"Are you all right, Miss Queen?"
"What's happening?"
"Do you know, Miss Queen, but I think we've got elves."
"Elves?"
"And they've got Miss Tockley. You know, you took the iron away."
"What are you talking about, Sean?" Sean's face was white.
"That one down the dungeon started singing, and they put the mark on her, so she's doing what they want."
"Sean."
"And Mum says they don't kill you if they can help it, not right away. You're much more fun if you're not dead."
Magrat stared at him.
"I had to run away. She was trying to get me hood off. I had to leave her, miss. You understand, miss?"
"Elves?"
"You got to hold on to something iron, miss. They hate iron."
She slapped his face, hurting her fingers on the mail. "You're gabbling, Sean."
"They're out there, miss. The drawbridge go down. They're out there and we're in here and they don't kill you. They keep you alive."
"Stand to attention, soldier." It was all she could think of. It seemed to work. Sean pulled himself together.
"Look," said Magrat, "everyone knows there really aren't any elves anymore."
Her voice faded. Her eyes narrowed. "Everyone but Magrat Garlic knows different, yes?" Sean shook. Magrat grabbed his shoulders.
"Me Mum and Mistress Weatherwax said you wasn't to know," Sean wailed. "They said it was witch business."
"And where are they now, when they've got some witch business to mind?" said Magrat. "I don't see them, do you? Are they behind the door? No. Are they under the bed? How strange, they're not. There's just me, Sean Ogg. And if you don't tell me everything you know right now, I'll make you regret the day I was born."
Sean's Adam's apple bobbed up and down as he considered this. Then he shook himself free of Magrat's grasp and listened at the door. The singing had stopped. For a moment, Magrat thought she heard footsteps outside the door hurrying away.
"Well, Miss Queen, our Mum and Mistress Weatherwax was up at the dances."
Magrat listened. Finally, she said, "And where's everyone now?"
"Do you know, miss, all gone to the entertainment. But they ought to have been back by now."
"Where's the entertainment?"
"Do you know, miss?" "Miss?"
"Yes?"
"Why have you got your wedding dress on?"
"Never you mind."
"It's unlucky for the groom to see the bride in her dress before the wedding,"
said Sean, taking refuge in run-of-the-mill idiocies to relieve his terror. "It will be for him if I see him first," snarled Magrat.
"Miss?"
"Yes?"
"I'm feared about what's happened to everyone. Our Jason said they'd be back in an hour or so, and that was hours ago."
"But there's almost 100 guests and everyone from the town, practically. Elves couldn't do anything to them."
"They wouldn't have to, miss."
Sean went to the unglazed window.
"Look, miss, I can drop down onto the granary in the stable yard from here. It's thatch. I'll be all right. Then I can sneak round the kitchens and out by the little gate by the Hubwood Tower with military precision."
"What for?"
"To get help, miss."
"But you don't know if there's any help to get."
"Can you think of anything else, miss?"
She couldn't.
"It's very brave of you, Sean," said Magrat.
"You stay here and you'll be right as rain,"
said Sean.
"Tell you what, how about if I lock the door and take the key with me? Then even if they sing at you, they can't get you to open the door."
Magrat nodded. Sean tried to smile.
"Wish we had another suit of mail," he said, "but it's all in the armoury."
"I'll be fine," said Magrat. "Off you go then." Sean nodded. He waited for a moment on the window ledge and then dropped into the darkness. Magrat pushed the bed against the door and sat on it. It occurred to her that she should have gone as well, but that would mean leaving the castle empty, and that didn't feel right. Besides, she was scared. There was one candle in the room, and that was half burned down. When it was gone, there'd be nothing but moonlight. Magrat had always liked moonlight, up to now. It was quiet outside. There should be the noises of the town. It crept over her that letting Sean go away with the key to the door was not a wholly sensible thing, because if they caught him, they could open it. There was a scream which went on for a long time, and then the night rolled back in again. After a few minutes, there was a scrabbling at the lock, such as might be made by someone trying to manipulate a key held in several thicknesses of cloth, so as not to come in contact with the iron.
The door began to open and wedged up against the bed.